turning there again. It's good to see everybody in the Lord's house. And I desire your prayers. There's a lot of wonderful things in this chapter. I'm going to try to get down to a thought I believe the Lord gave me in chapter and verse number 12, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ.
Amen.
But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to try by the help of God this morning to concentrate on the first passages that I read here in your hearing, 12 through 16. The Bible mentions several times, five in fact, I believe it is, about a veil. A veil. This thing that we're talking about this morning, and it was a veil that Moses had to place over his head. He had went up on the mountain and saw the glory of God. He had to come down and had to put a veil over his face. Not so that he couldn't see them, but that they could not steadfastly look upon the glory that Moses had beheld. And so what I'm preaching about this morning for just a little bit, and you bear with me as I've got more than just this to say, but some veils that need to be taken away. Some veils that need to be taken away. Things that are blinding people to seeing what they need to see.
Right.
Seeing salvation.
Hey.
You know, there's a lot of things that keep people today from really seeing salvation. As simple as it is. And seeing the person of salvation. There's a veil of religion that keeps people from seeing salvation. And now that's partly what the Hebrews had in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. The Bible said that in verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. And I think that's the only time in the New Testament, or maybe in the Bible, that it's referred to as the Old Testament. And it's referred to the Old Testament or the Old Covenant right here. But he's talking about still to this day when the law is read, that same veil is between them and seeing the glory of God. They hear the words, but they cannot see the glory of God. And it's a veil of religion. It is also a veil of pride. A lot of people have a veil of pride that keeps them from seeing the glory of God. You wouldn't believe how many people go to hell over pride.
Yes, sir.
That's right. How many people go to hell over religion? Hey, it's blinded them. They cannot see. Again, they hear, but they don't really hear.
Right.
They have eyes, but they cannot see. Amen? Wow. Ears, they cannot hear.
Right.
That's the veil that is between them and the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, in the picture of the Old Testament, again, it was Moses that had gone up on the mountain and had seen God and spent time with God and had seen God write the Ten Commandments. There's more than that, but that we say the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone and came down. And because Moses had been in the presence of God and had seen the glory of God, that same glory was imprinted upon Moses. Are you listening to me? He was changed. Amen. Moses was a changed man after he had been in the presence of God. The glory of God was now shining upon the face of Moses. And that's what we preach as Christianity, is that more time you and I spend in the presence of God, the more we are changed into His glory, into His image. Amen. And that's right. Now, you have to ask yourself, is my life reflecting the glory of God? Does it reflect the glory of God? And if you're saved, your life should begin to reflect the glory of God and the image of Christ. Amen?
Right.
And I'm not saying that any of us have arrived, but we should more and more, from glory to glory. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about us becoming more and more into his image. More and more like him. More and more into what Christ has conformed us to be. But Moses came down and the veil was over his face. And that veil kept them from seeing the glory of God. They saw the table of stone. They saw the words written thereon, but the letter killed it. Amen. And that's what the Bible says here in this chapter, that the letter killed it. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with the glory of the Lord. The letter of the law meant more to Moses than it did to the children of Israel. Why? Because Moses had saw the God that spoke it,
right,
and saw the God that wrote it. Amen?
Right.
And they could not see the glory of God in the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
You see, it's the Spirit that giveth life.
Right.
It takes the Spirit to put the glory of God in the letter of the law, into the Word of God. Amen? But we are blinded. As sinners, man is blinded. Blinded. Just like the Hebrew. Blinded to what we should see the glory of God. That we could see salvation. We cannot see it. Man cannot see it. He cannot see salvation. He sees words. And he sees a law that he cannot keep. He sees a law that he tries to keep, but he cannot keep. He sees something that will make him perfect, and that he really can't. That's what man sees. Something that he believes can make him perfect, but it really can't. Amen? It's not made any man perfect. We fail. We fail the law. We cannot uphold the law. Amen?
Right.
And seeing then, listen, Paul, hey, you got to figure out a lot of what he was talking about before that he said, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now he was talking about how that Christ, listen, stands in our stead for, before God. Amen. And the Christ is our glory. And the Christ is our letter. I'll preach about that some at another time. But seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech and not as Moses. See, Moses couldn't be plain with them. He couldn't be clear with them. He could not. Why? Because he put a veil over his face. The children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, which is now here in the New Testament put away. Jesus said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it.
Right.
So it's not, again, are you listening? It's put away. It's put aside. It brings us to Christ. It is not our way of salvation.
Amen.
Yes. Amen? They thought it was their way of salvation. But it was not their way of salvation. Right. It is to bring them to God, to somebody that they cannot see.
Amen.
Why? Because of the veil. The veil, amen, it would have destroyed them. If Moses would have took off that veil, it would have killed every Israelite. Do you know that?
That's right.
To see the glory of God. Why? Because they were not in the place to see God. They were not in the position to see God.
Right.
Moses was a picture of the high priest that could go into the presence of God. Only one man.
Yes, sir.
One man. And that is Christ now in our stead to go into the presence of God. Let me stay on these verses. Moses had to put a veil over his face. Something that kept them from seeing the glory. Let me ask you something. What is keeping you from seeing the glory today? What is keeping you from seeing what God is and who God is and what God's salvation is and what God expects from you for salvation? What is it that has you blinded that you cannot come? You see, the Bible goes on down and says this, that even to this day in verse 15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. That covering is on their heart. But look what he said. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord. What? What is it? When the heart shall turn to the Lord. The veil shall be taken away. You know that Christ is the only one that can reveal the glory of God in you. Christ is the only one wherein you shall be able to see the way of salvation. He is the way of salvation. Amen. He is God, the Word made flesh. God's written Word. Amen. That's what Christ is. Christ is God's written letter of commendation, of love to us.
Amen.
And you know what Christ is for us? Our letter of propitiation back to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's right. He's our answer.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't have an answer on my own.
Right.
That's what those Israelites maybe thought that they, you know, could come. They, many of them wanted to come. The mountain, the edge of the mountain. They wanted to approach God. And God said, if you do, you'll be thrust through of a dog.
Right.
Only one could approach God. And so Christ is our letter of propitiation back to God. He is our sacrifice. Amen. God sent his Son as his love letter to us.
Yeah.
And we, through his same mediation, answer back. That's the only way that you, I heard some people the other day, a bunch of idiots again, talking about speaking directly to God. And I thought they missed it. They missed it. That's a doctrine of heresy. You don't bypass Jesus.
Amen.
And if you really go to talking about talking to God, you are talking to Jesus. Amen. If you talk to Christ, you talk to God. Amen. That's right. He is God.
Yeah.
I and the Father are one. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
Don't ever let these people that say they're speaking in another language, that they're talking directly to God. Amen. That's a false doctrine, false heresy. That there's nothing in the Bible that says a man can go directly to God. Your mediator is Christ.
Amen.
Right.
My mediator is Christ. The next man's mediator is Christ.
Yeah.
Every man's mediator is Christ. That's like saying you can just work out your salvation between you and God without the letter.
Yeah.
Without God's love letter to you, Jesus. Without our letter of propitiation back to God, Jesus. See, he is the mediator. Amen. He is the bridge. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the bread. He's the water. He's the resurrection.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He is the life. Thank God. But they have a veil about them. Many people today have that same veil. Just like them people, they have a veil of charisma, a veil of religion about their heart and about their head. They are blinded. You know what's behind blindness? Satan's behind blindness. The majority of blindness is Satan's behind it.
Right.
And he can take religion and do it. And he can even take the word and do it. He'll do it. The Bible says, for Satan hath blinded the minds of them. That's the light of the glorious light of the glorious gospel of Christ. It's amazing how the apostle used that word glory. Glorious. Why? Because that same glory was what they could not see. And Satan's blinding people's minds today. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. He's speaking of that same reference. That glory of God shining from Moses' face. The gospel of Christ shines to people. People are blind when they try to come up with some other way. When they don't see that it is through the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're looking for, again, most people today, some kind of charisma. Something that fans the flesh a little more.
Yeah.
Rather than changes the soul of man. Amen? Listen to what the Bible says. In verse number 18, but we all with open face. See, that's what they're saying. We all with open face. No veil. Beholding as in a glass. Not necessarily clearly, but we can see. Like this. I can see you, Brother Danny, and it's not glass, but it's sort of like glass. I can see you. But not just all that I need to see. Amen. If you shine us, I can see them lights. But they're not shining as beautifully as they are in person. Are you listening to me? So we all, with open face, the veil's been taken away, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. All of us, that the veil has been taken away.
Amen.
God changes us. You can't behold the glory and not be changed.
Right.
The glory changes you.
Amen.
You and I that are saved, that have come, our heart has turned to the Lord.
Right.
We knew that we were covered. We knew, like the Israelite, that our heart was covered with a veil. We knew that we could not come to God. We could not see it. And our heart turned to the Lord. When we turned to the Lord, the veil was taken away. Only when a soul turns to the Lord, then is whatever veil that's covering them is taken away. And it's not in man, and it's not in money, and it's not in pride, and it's not in religion, and
right.
It's not in works, and it's not in charisma.
Right.
But it's in the Lord. When you turn, when your heart turns to the Lord.
Amen.
That's why we say, turn to the Lord. Come to the Lord.
Right.
Because He is the only one that can take the veil off of you that you see. You finally will see, I need to be saved.
Right.
I need to be born again.
Amen.
And when you see that, the glory changes you.
Yeah.
You don't change yourself. It changes you.
Yeah.
Moses had the glory on him. Moses didn't come down and think, I need to change a little something about my looks, about myself. No, he was changed because of the glory. The glory changed. Maybe he didn't even realize how much it had changed. But he had to put a veil about it. Because they could not behold what he beheld. And I know right now, lost, you can't see what I'm seeing. Preachers years ago said it right, and I've said this. I was on the outside looking in.
Right.
I just could not see. My ears just simply could not hear. I had no understanding. Are you listening to me?
Right.
The best that I could try, I was in darkness. I was not in the light. I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. I could not. I could hear the gospel, but I could not see the way.
Right.
Until I turned to the Lord.
Right. Amen.
That's why He's the Savior.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Yes. He's the Savior.
Right.
That's right. Don't turn just to any cross. Turn to the cross that the Savior was on.
Right.
Turn to Christ. Turn to the resurrected Lord.
Right.
Turn to the tomb that's empty today.
Yes. Amen.
There is liberty. Because it's a spiritual matter. Paul made it clear in verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that's the heart of man or the soul of man, the spiritual side, turns to the Lord, the veils be taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not guilt anymore. Change. Not in darkness anymore. Change. Liberty. Like a man walking out of jail. Liberty. Unchained. No more bars between him and freedom. Christ is the one to come and set man free.
even quoted Isaiah 6:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, opening of sight to those that are blind, opening of the prison to them that are bound. Isn't that what he said? He's talking about spiritually. All that are veiled, in whatever way they're veiled, blind in whatever way, bound in whatever way, dead in whatever way. Amen? That Christ came to give life to all.
Amen.
Sight to the blind.
Right.
Life to the dead.
Amen.
Amen. When the soul, the spirit of man turns to the Lord, then there's liberty. Then there's freedom. You need to have that veil taken away. It's done away in Christ. End of verse 14. Which veil is done away in Christ? The only way your veil will be taken away is if you turn to Christ. Lord save you. He has to pull that veil off. Done away in Christ. No matter how much you try, you're not going to get that veil off. You're not going to get that that's keeping you being saved. That's keeping you in sin, in the world, away from God. Not ready. If you'll turn to Christ, you'll turn to Christ. He will take the veil. They've been singing songs for years. He can roll the stone away. Talking about that resurrection. He can roll the stone away. That's right. He can take the veil away.
Hey.
Amen. He can make the change. Make the change happen. You'll have open face. Your eyes will see. The glory will begin to shine upon you.
Right.
Amen. Like Moses when he was up there with God on the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, now the veil in the temple is rent in twain from top to the bottom. How to do that? Christ ripped it.
Amen.
With the cross.
Amen.
Now whosoever will can come.
Amen.
Be changed into the same image.
Amen.
The same image. What image? The image you behold.
Yeah.
Right.
See, where you can tell where somebody's life is according to where they're looking. Because you become what you're after. Listen, it happens so easily, even just in the flesh. Go down to Texas and live a little while. It won't be long. You'll have a pair of cowboy boots and a cowboy hat on. Might even, some of you young fellas might even be interested in climbing on the back of a wild bull. Go up in some of these high mountains. Colorado and the Dakotas up in that way. It won't be long. You might be with a crowd that's got skis on their feet coming down about 90 miles an hour off the slope. It's what you go after. What you're after. It's what you behold.
Amen.
It's what you're into. It changes. You can tell when little boys and little girls get changed by what they're into.
Right. That's right.
Men and women get changed from what they're into. Yeah. Or this, listen, it don't just change, it's just the outside. It's an inside and out.
Amen. Right.
Into his glory.
Yeah. Amen.
Into his